I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about why people occasionally fail on this diet. It's a good point because some do fail. We're always looking at the reasons, trying to find ways to improve the program. Most people who go on it report that taking the plunge is surprisingly easy. That's partly because the South Beach diet doesn't require you to give up everything you love. We strongly encourage you to eat until you're no longer hungry and to snack when you feel the need, even during the stringent first 2 weeks. But we recognize that it's all too easy at the start because it's human nature to be gung-ho at the beginning of any new health regimen. You're feeling motivated, and so you're optimistic and full of resolve and determination to get your life and your looks back on track. Before you know it, you're watching the pounds begin to melt away. You see the numbers on your scale descend, and you dig out garments that were once uncomfortably snug, or maybe even impossibly tight, and suddenly they begin to seem possible again. Sticking with the program is easy with so much good stuff going on. Then, what happens? To a degree, failure comes because of the program's success. People lose anywhere from 8 to 13 pounds during the first 2 weeks. At that point, you switch from the strictest phase to phase 2. This is when you begin reintroducing some of the carbs you cut completely in phase 1. The purpose of adding them back, as I've said, is manifold. Some carbs are good for you, and we want you to be on a healthy diet that's as close to normal eating as possible. That means you're going to eat fruit and bread or pasta once in a while, and even a dessert here and there. You continue losing weight in phase 2, but not at the same speed as you did in phase 1. Depending on how much you want to lose, it may take up to a year or even longer. For some dieters, that's a disappointment, and they remember that phase 1 wasn't so restrictive. They couldn't eat certain things they love, but they never went hungry or felt discomfort, so they decide to stay on phase 1 indefinitely until they reach their goal. Now, I know plenty of dieters who have made that decision and succeeded, but I know others who have failed. Here's why they fail. Phase 1 isn't meant to be a long-term eating plan. You're limited to a fairly small palette of foods, grilled or broiled lean meats and fish, vegetables, low-fat cheeses and salads, all either steamed or prepared using good fats such as olive oil and canola oil. For snacks, nuts and part skim milk mozzarella sticks, and that's about it. From a culinary point of view, it's a perfectly acceptable diet for 2 or 3 weeks. After that, it gets a little dull. That, we find, is where the trouble starts. That's when dieters begin to improvise, only they do so improperly. They mix in their bad old habits, just once in a while, mind you. They follow phase 1, but they add in a handful of Oreo cookies every night. Even that's not exactly it. They add one cookie after dinner, realize it tasted pretty good and probably did no harm, and then increase it to 3 every night. 3 cookies at night with no noticeable harm makes it easy to allow a small bag of corn chips at 4 o'clock one afternoon. If you're doing all right with 3 cookies and corn chips, it doesn't seem so unwise to indulge a craving for pizza and beer on the weekend. Before long, you're treating more than dieting. When you realize how badly you've strayed, you may do what lots of our people have tried. You'll revert at once to the strict phase 1 plan. But when you do, it seems even more monotonous than it did the first time. At that point, you may just surrender. Some people do. If you're lucky, you won't end up weighing more than you did before you started the diet, though backsliding has a way of sending you to a point even beyond where you began. It's a diet truism that you can't lose in a day what took you years to put on. We all accept that, yet it's hard not to try the quick fix. Sometimes the end result is weight gain, not weight loss. It's important for people to like the food they eat. Eating is meant to bring pleasure, even when you're trying to lose weight. That's a sensible way to think about food, and it's one of the basic principles of the South Beach diet, which is why we strongly urge all the people we counsel to switch to phase 2 after the second week, no matter how tempting it is to remain on phase 1. This is a long-term diet, and the three-phase approach is an important part of its success. It may take longer to lose the weight this way, but your chances of losing it and keeping it off are better. A second reason for failure has more to do with how everyday life intrudes on our plans. You've reached your target weight. Now you're in phase three, the diet's maintenance stage, meaning you still have to eat a certain way to keep the weight off. This, if you stick with the program, is how you'll eat for the rest of your life. What kind of intrusions am I talking about? People who travel a good deal, especially on business, are at high risk for diet failure. Travel is disruption, especially of your normal eating routines. That's dangerous. It's especially so nowadays when in-flight food service has become a thing of the past. Once, you could plan ahead and order the special vegetarian or kosher meal, and you'd get something relatively fresh and healthy and made to order. You could easily bypass the meat with gravy, mashed potatoes, peas and carrots, applesauce, and fruit cobbler for dessert. Today, more than likely, all you've been served is some trail mix or pretzels with a beer or soda. Except for the nuts, it's all bad carbs and sugars. By the time you've landed and made it to your hotel, it's way past your mealtime. With a change in time zones, it may even be past your bedtime. But you're wired from the trip and famished. The first thing you do is pick up the room service menu and overorder. Maybe a Caesar salad with roast chicken breast would be enough to satisfy your hunger. But you hear yourself requesting the Turkey Club sandwich with French fries and a milkshake. You regret the decision as soon as you hang up the phone, but when the food arrives, you somehow manage to force it all down, along with a beer from the minibar to make you drowsy enough to sleep. Next day, you eat properly, but as you near your normal dinner time, you're stuck in a working session at the home office. And it's not until 7:30, when you're starving once again, that somebody thinks to order in a few pizzas and soft drinks. And so you end another day loaded with bad carbs. Long work days, whether at home or on the road, are a main culprit in diet failure. It's a disruption of normal mealtimes that leads you to overeat when the food finally arrives. Or you're one of those modern-day road warriors, a business person or sales rep who spends hours in a car, which makes it easy to grab an unhealthy lunch or snack at a fast food drive-through window and wolf it down in the parking lot. Sometimes it's the work-related stress that makes it easy to fall back into comforting old habits. People who eat when they feel psychological or emotional pressure tend to fall off the diet wagon. Think of the items we all see as comfort foods. Invariably, they're either baked sweets like cakes and pies and chocolate chip cookies, or dishes such as macaroni and cheese. I can't tell you how many people went off the diet in the fall and winter of 2001. The terrorist attack jarred us out of our sense of safety, or they made weight seem like an awfully trivial concern in the larger scheme of things. That's a kind of anxiety and insecurity that seeks comfort in a sweet mouthful or a brimming dinner plate. It's hard to advise people to cope with that kind of stress while sticking to a diet. Elsewhere in this recording, I have talked about people who have gone on a South Beach diet, gotten down to their desired weight, and remain there. Here I'm going to quote someone who went on the diet, lost weight, and then backslid, so much so that today he weighs pretty much what he did when he started. His story is a good example of how sometimes just a momentary break in the diet can spell disaster. In its way, this should be as instructive as the others. To protect the guilty, though, I won't name this dieter. He said, "I had had an early heart attack. I'm in my 50s and was in cardiac rehab when I finally decided it was time to lose weight. I was up to 235 at the time. I went to the nutritionist and she set me up on a 4-week version of the South Beach diet. In the first 2 weeks, I lost 8 pounds, but it left me feeling a little weak. Then I started adding back some carbs and felt better, and the weight kept coming off. Bread was my big weakness back then. I ate it with every meal, and sometimes I ate it between meals. If I went to a restaurant, I'd feast on the bread basket to the point where I wouldn't be hungry when dinner came. I'd have to take it home many times, so I cut the bread out completely. My other big weakness was sweets. I love cookies, especially oatmeal raisin. I'd eat them all day. I'd buy them fresh baked and take them into work for everyone, but I'd grab a handful every time I walked by the kitchen. I had always eaten a lot of potatoes, too, and I had to give them up, but it wasn't too hard. Bread and cookies were the tough ones. Waffles, too, with syrup for breakfast, or a Danish. After I went on the diet, I cut out all the baked goods for my breakfast and just stuck with eggs. Lots of water to drink, that and decaf. Instead of cookies between meals, I'd have nuts. Maybe some peanuts in the middle of the afternoon. And no more dessert at night. Before, I'd have more cookies, or maybe a big bowl of cereal with milk. On the diet, I had almonds for dessert while watching TV. I'd count 15 of them out of the jar, like I was told, and I'd eat them slowly, one by one, so they'd last. On phase two, I lost another 25 pounds, and it was getting easier. At restaurants, I'd ask them to take the bread basket away. I'd stick with meat and vegetables and just felt fine. He continued, "Then, the way you're supposed to, I started adding some carbs back to my diet. I'd have a slice of bread every couple of days, for instance, or instead of bread, I'd have a serving of rice. I kept losing weight, and I stayed with a diet for a whole year." That's about when we had a big family outing to attend, a huge party. I had been good for so long that I said to myself I was going to eat anything and everything I wanted. I told myself that it would be for just one day and that tomorrow I'd be back on the program. But tomorrow never came. I liked eating everything so much I didn't want to stop. In the past, if I added too many carbs and stopped losing weight, I'd just shift back to phase one and take it off. This time, I couldn't bring myself to do it. Before I knew it, all the weight I had lost, almost 50 pounds, was back. He concluded, "Now I'm planning to go back to phase one again, but it'll be like starting all over. This is a very good diet, and it really works, but you still have to actually follow it." It's true that this particular dieter could have easily indulged his sweet tooth all day long at the family picnic, and then next morning gone back on the diet. That's how plenty of people operate. They'll give in to temptation on special occasions, a wedding, say, or on vacation, or at a fancy dinner, and then make up for it the next day. On this diet, you can fall off the wagon, find that you've put on a pound or two, and easily backtrack to phase one until you lose what you've gained. All this makes perfect sense, of course, even to the people who fall off the wagon so hard that they undo weeks and even months of good work. It's okay to fall off once in a while, as long as you remember to get right back on. I'd like to remind you about the kinds of meals you should plan for the first important phase of the South Beach diet. This, as you know by now, is the strictest phase of the diet. It's meant to last for 2 weeks only, just long enough to resolve the insulin resistance that was brought about by eating too many bad, mostly processed carbs. Phase one does not have to be low carb if you eat the right carbs. It is designed to allow ample portions of protein, good fats, and the lowest glycemic index carbs needed for satisfaction and blood sugar control. These include the low glycemic index vegetables, which also contribute fiber, important nutrients such as heart-healthy folate and other vitamins and minerals. Many salads and vegetables are unlimited. You will also have your choice of proteins from a variety of sources. By the time this phase ends, your unhealthy cravings, especially for sweets, baked goods, and starches, will have essentially vanished. You'll notice that each day includes six different occasions to eat, three meals and three snacks. So you should never feel hungry, and if you do, it's possible that you're being too stingy with your portions. The South Beach diet doesn't require you to measure what you eat in ounces, calories, or anything else. The meals should be of normal size, enough to satisfy your hunger, but no more than that. We recommend that after 2 weeks of phase one, you switch to phase two, a more liberal version of the South Beach diet. Here's where you begin to gradually reintroduce certain healthy carbs, fruit, whole grain bread, whole grain rice, whole wheat pasta, sweet potatoes into your diet. The weight loss slows a little bit during phase two, which is why some dieters stay on phase one longer than the two-week period. If you're confident you can stick to that stricter plan for another week or two, feel free. But bear in mind that the relatively limited choices in phase one make it a bad choice for a long-term diet. You should stay on phase two until you hit your target weight, at which point you move on to phase three. But there will be times during the course of your weight loss regimen that you will fall off the wagon. Maybe you'll overindulge in sweets during a vacation or around the holidays. Maybe there will be some stressful period that will lead you to put on a few pounds. When that happens, we suggest that you switch back to phase one, just until you lose what you gained and get yourself back on track. That's how we designed the South Beach diet. The three phases allow enough flexibility to accommodate real life. At a certain point, you will reach your ideal weight. If you've stuck with a diet, your blood chemistry should also be improved. This is the part of the plan that's meant to help to maintain the benefits you've earned by following phases one and two. This is how you'll eat for the rest of your life. Phase three is the most liberal stage of the diet. By now, it is simply one important aspect of a healthy lifestyle rather than a weight loss program. At this point, you should be knowledgeable enough about how the South Beach diet works and how it interacts with your own body to enjoy all the flexibility of the plan. In other words, if you want it and it doesn't undo all your sacrifices, you should go ahead and enjoy. There will always be times when you overindulge a little, even after years on the diet. Those are the times when you'll switch back to phase one for a week or two. You'll get back to where you were, and then you'll return to phase three. Don't even think of it as backsliding. We designed the diet to allow normal human beings to eat the way they want. If for you that means having a few too many desserts once in a while, great, enjoy it. Once you've reached your goal, you'll want to begin including foods such as multigrain bread, tortillas, and brown rice. At this point, you'll know which carbs you can eat without gaining weight, so you'll already have integrated them into your diet. Remember that the South Beach diet is all about losing weight and gaining life.
We hope you've enjoyed this program from Harper Audio. To order additional cassettes or CDs, or to receive a complete catalog of Harper Audio and Cadman titles, please call us at 1-800-331-3761. You might also try our website, www.harperaudio.com. Thank you.